Hello and welcome. Is this good? We have action. Okay. Hi, my name is Tamara, aka Tammy, to my church family, and I want to welcome you here to our class celebration of the Tuesday and Thursday night classes, which Millie comes for every single week and with incredible energy guides us all through magical nights while we all wonder if we can make it here because we're tired or we had a long day. And she never questions that, and we are just eternally grateful. In fact, our theme tonight is gratitude. And in that, I just wanted to share a brief saying with you that I really enjoy and I feel like represents what we learn in Millie's classes. She felt like doing her part to change the world, so she started by giving thanks for all the blessings in her life, rather than bemoaning all that was missing from it. Then she complimented her reflection in the mirror, instead of criticizing it as she usually did. Next, she walked into her neighborhood and offered her smile to everyone she passed, whether or not they offered theirs to her. Each day she did these things, and soon they became habit. Each day she lived with more gratitude, more acceptance, more kindness. And sure enough, the world around her began to change. Because she had decided so, she was single-handedly doing her part to change it. Thank you, Millie, for everything you do to let us be those people. And now I'd like to invite Christy up. Christy's running. I'll be your MC tonight. I might be funny. I might dance. It might get wacky up here, so we'll see how it goes. Ladies and gentlemen, Christy.
So I'm going to take a quick trip over to Hawaii. So can I get an aloha from everyone?
Aloha.
Aloha. We often see lei as a celebratory for birthdays and graduations, but they're also a very large sign of gratitude. So with sincere gratitude on behalf of Tuesday and Thursday night, I present this lei to Millie.
Thank you, Christy. And it matches.
Hear me, everybody? Oh, yeah, I guess so. All right. Oh, I'm good. I think I'm good. Well, good evening, everybody. Okay, every night before I would go to bed with a prayer. And it always, when I was younger, it always began with, "Dear Lord, I want to thank you for all the food and beauty and all the good things you bring into this world." And then, like a lot of us, I might make a special request. And then I would end it thanking God for all the blessings in my life. Yet at some point during my teen years, I began to stop praying. Often when I reflected back on this period, it concerned me because I started using a lot of drugs at the time. And I assumed to my dismay that maybe I had stopped praying because without realizing it, I was serving another master. Then recently, a friend of mine pointed something out to me that I had never considered before. During the earlier period of my life when I was praying, my life was filled with gratitude. But in my later years, like with a lot of us, my teen years, things really took a downward turn. And I was in a lot of pain. And she pointed out that maybe the reason why I stopped praying was because I was no longer in that state of gratitude. It made so much sense to me. And I never thought of it that way. Where I grew up in suburban University City, I grew up in a large house with a big backyard, plenty of beautiful trees, flowers, grass. And of course, this attracted all sorts of beautiful wildlife. We also had a huge pool. It was a charmed life. Across the way at a neighborhood house on the other side of the canyon, we had a neighbor who had an aviary full of birds. And they had a rooster, which was very unusual. You know, most suburbs, you don't have that. So early every morning, I had the unusual experience of waking up with a rooster at 5 a.m. every morning. I used to wake up as a kid with a strong sense of enthusiasm and gratitude. Yet at some point, I guess I got older because of growing pains of my life, and things started turning so downhill. I began to resent the crow of that rooster. I wanted to sleep in, dreading to face the day. Later on in my life, I began my path towards healing and spiritual renewal, I began to read about the importance of gratitude in various spiritual books and in listening to various sermons in the churches. And I began to slowly practice it. And when I thought about it, I thought about my, you know, growing up, I thought, you know, look at how good I had it. How many kids, when they wake up in the morning, grow up and they're woken up instead of by a rooster, by loud noises, honking horns. They grow up in large cities, surrounded by buildings, and they can't see the sun rising because it's covered by buildings and smog. And I thought, you know, I have a lot to be grateful for. And, you know, there are many ways that we can learn gratitude, and one of the best ways, I think, is through children. How many of us have had one of those moments in our life when we were with our child and we were feeling grumpy, maybe resentful about what was going on in our lives? And then our child looks to us and says, "Mommy, Daddy, look at that tree. Isn't it beautiful?" And then we stop, and all of a sudden we look at that tree and say, "Yeah, it is beautiful. Wow." And just for a moment we have that sense of gratitude that often the children have. And how many times have we spent time with our kids and we're frustrated with them for many different reasons, and our kid flashes us one of those great smiles and says, "I love you, Dad, Mom." And then we think to ourselves, "I'm the luckiest person in the world." So, you know, you might want to try, you know, bringing a bit more gratitude in your life. And you might find that it might make a difference, a big difference. I know I'm filled with gratitude for this church, like many people. Being able to come here, and every time it's just filled with music, laughter, healing, love. Every time it works. And I'm so grateful to be with all of you tonight. So I just recommend that maybe you might want to get up in the morning, like many of our indigenous ancestors and people today who greet the morning every day with a prayer, with gratitude. See what kind of difference it might make in your lives. Thank you for letting me share tonight.
Thank you, John. I love this church. I love how things work because I have this picture up here of this tree. Can you see this? And this is a packet that I use when I do therapy. And I love that you said a child would say, "Look at that tree." And this is a tree at San Diego State University. And it was a day when there were some pretty negative things going on. There'd been a young girl who was what they called a hate crime. A young man had ripped her burqa off and said some pretty horrible things to her in the parking garage. And everyone on campus was really in an uproar, and there was a lot of anger, and people were protesting and marching. And I was sitting there and looking, sitting on this patio, and I was just kind of staring at the trees. And I saw this. And I looked at this, you know, where if you look at it closely, you can see where this tree was injured. It's got scratches and marks where a branch was clearly cut off, and how it healed itself. And what I see when I look around that campus is so much love. I see professors working with students. I see students working in groups and hugging each other and cheering each other on. And one young man did a bad thing, but we don't know his story. We don't always know what's going on in a person's life. We don't know if maybe he was harmed or he lost a family member. We don't know what his story is. But what I do know that there are 35,000 other kids who didn't do something that day like that. So I just like that you said, look at the trees, because I think we'll find what we're looking for at any given moment in the world that we live in. So thank you for that. Thank you for letting me throw that in. So it was just neat that you mentioned the trees. And next we have Pierre to share with you. My friend Pierre, who I have the great privilege of sitting next to in class on Thursday nights and sharing this process with.
Good evening. This is my second time. Last year, I talked about love. This year, it's gratitude, and Flying Bird will be my assistant, as will the angels. We are grateful for each and every one of you because you found us. We know that this is not a mistake. It's not a mistake. For all the things that have happened in your life and churches that you've gone to and people that were religious and not spiritual, we are here. For all the people that you've run into that said you had to do what they thought you need to do, we are here. We love you. We love you. My story is a bit different from John's. I was raised a Catholic. That was half my family. The other half were Baptist. So Thanksgiving dinners were interesting, to say the least. I went to the seminary because I was told I wanted to be a priest. You see, there was this nun named Sister Mary Pierre, and I was her favorite all through grade school. And she said, you make a great priest. So I bought that for 2 years, and I realized that I love women. And I wanted to be authentic. So I went through and went through discovery and ran away. My grandfather, by the way, on the Baptist side, was a minister. And he saw that I would be a minister, and I said, So I ran from it for 20 years because I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And so 10 years ago, I was ordained after running all this time. But that was what I was meant to do. You see, Flying Bird, which I mentioned, is a symbol of sharing or learning with others on this trail of life. I honor this church from the founder, Dr. Moore, President Emeritus, the first pastor, to our lovely Millie, which each of us have a connection to. But it's not a connection to Millie. It's a connection to yourself, your true self, your authentic self. The God if in you. That person that's inside you that wants you to be who you are. So in my studies, as I went through, I studied Phineas Quigley, Franz Mesmer, Ralph Waldo Emerson, Emanuel Swedenborg, Thomas Tower, Emma Curtis Hopkins, and before I came here, I studied under Myrta Fillmore. Now, Myrta Fillmore is an interesting lady. At the turn of the century, they founded a movement. It wasn't a church, it was a movement. And her emphasis was healing. And that attracted me. It spoke to my soul. It spoke to me totally. So the paradigm shift for my life brought me here. And we talk about what? Healing. Healing. Because once you're healed, you're free to love, you're free to live. I am grateful to wake up every morning and take a deep breath and know that there's someone who did not take a deep breath that morning. To open my eyes and see there's someone who did not see, or to hear, or to speak. Small things that we take for granted, we are grateful for. So as we go through life and we understand we are blessed, it is now time for us to be who we were meant to be. That you will find here, right here. I know my time is short, but the shift of perception for each of us has begun right now. Has begun right now. You know, you, as Millie says, you don't have to be holy, you know, holier than thou to be spiritual. You just be yourself. Millie also says that we should read the Bible. And I know that there's some people that don't want to do that. And it's okay. Your time will come. But let me leave with you as I leave you. Let me leave you two things. And there have been times where I've officiated at funerals or homegoings for people. And every funeral you hear this Ecclesiastes 3:1. For every time there is a season, a time for every purpose under heavens born. Ecclesiastes 3:1. Proverbs 15:23. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. This is your time. This is your season. We have things and we see our lives as just, you know, we just kind of roll along and, you know, year to year, but you are different. You are not like everyone else. And I'm here to tell you, you are magnificent. Turn to the person next to you and say, you are magnificent. You are magnificent. So for those of you who aren't familiar with the Bible, Proverbs is between Psalms and Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is between Proverbs and the Song of Solomon. Now that's a great book to read, the Song of Solomon. So the last scripture I want to leave with you is Luke 11:9-13. Many of you know that scripture, but how many of us believe it? It reads, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who speaks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. Now, if we go back and look at that just for a second, it doesn't say knock and it may come to you. It says seek, or maybe you'll find, or maybe you won't. Or knock, and if you knock hard enough, it might open. It says seek and you will find. Knock, and it shall be opened for you. Ask, and it will be given to you. How many times we want, but we don't ask? You're here at the right place, at the right time, to allow your magnificence to shine. The luminous light of your heart, your spirit, And what we constantly think about, we bring about. What we constantly think about, we bring about. How much time? Revealing our purpose because we understand that what we ask manifests. Because behind every problem, there's a question. If you've got a problem, there's a question, but we must ask. And then for every question, there's an answer. And for every answer, there's an action. We must take action. We must read more. We must pray more. We must meditate more. Whatever you need to do to be in touch with the Creator. In every action, it opens you and me up to a different way of life. I wish you a different way of life. Beloveds, that you have enough. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Pierre. Okay, what do we... That was just awesome. You guys are amazing. How lucky are we to be here? I'm trying to look for my next thing, Celeste. Let's see.